Commissioner Person, the, Commissioner, as well.
Commissioner Fox, I'll be your one.
Any back there, some other staff members? No? Then go to the access with them. We have it, page one, page two, page three, page four, and page five. Are we happy to note the access? And then if we can move then on to the regulatory and technical services business plan for quarter two, which is a pass. I hope the treasurer has had time to read it. And I hand over to, Adam, if anyone has any questions for Adam. None? Okay, so we can note that. Or do you need that to be closed, Adam? Mr. Noken? Slight deviation, you're going to take items 9 and 10 at this stage. So item 9, which is a report on Newcastle in Bloom, and if I can pass over to Kevin Scorion.
Thanks, Chair. As you said at your initial comments, we did receive the Silver Guild, which is the second highest award in the category, same as we got last year. Last year, this competition is judged on the three categories: environmental responsibility, horticultural achievements, and community participation. Last year, we scored gold in horticultural achievement and in environmental responsibility. This year, it dropped down to the silver guild. Last year, we scored silver in the community participation, and this year, we scored silver guild. So we've got silver guild in all three. So we're down slightly in terms of environmental responsibility and horticultural achievement. And within the report, which is provided as attachment to my report, it gives the judges comments. I suppose there were three or four things that were coming out of that. And I suppose the first thing was in terms of the planting that we have in different parts of, along the promenade, where the sea weather is having an impact on the types of planting that have been placed. And our grounds maintenance action will have to consider whether some planting should be replaced as it's maybe not surviving as well as others due to the weather conditions. The judges also highlighted a number of areas where they observed litter and graffiti, and that was something that that would have brought us down in terms of their marking. In terms of community involvement, we did put a lot of effort in this year for community involvement, and we worked closely with three particular groups, and we made good presentations on that particular day. But what they're really looking for is they really want this to become not a council-led activity, but a community-led activity. So what they're encouraging the council to do is to try and encourage the formation of a Bloom group, as they would call it. So that's a group of which would consist of community reps, business reps within the Newcastle area, who would come together and meet on a regular basis and develop an all-year-round program which would show the town off in its best way. So that's the feedback we have, and I suppose we as a council have to take that on board and decide whether we need to change things going forward if it is the gold standard that we're looking for Newcastle and perhaps other towns, because what the lessons we learned here through this competition are lessons we can transfer to other towns as well. So it's just for noting.
Are we all happy to note that report? Councillor Black.
Just to make a comment, and I'd just like to, you know, recognise the amount of effort that did go into, you know, getting the Silver Guild from both the voluntary sector and also the council staff. You know, there was a considerable effort put in, and I just think that has to be recognised. You know, there was, you might find the officers outlined a number of, I wouldn't say our weaknesses, but things we can build upon. But the judges and parties were saying there was, in relation to the community and business sector, there was opportunities to do more, be it the shops getting more involved, be it even pubs and restaurants, and that, you know, maybe taking a greater contribution. And maybe if we do set up such a group, then we start looking at, you know, it could be a pub initiative, it could be a restaurant initiative, it could be a hotel initiative, you know, and everybody, you know, to get involved, and I think that's what has to happen. It's okay to cancel a few volunteers getting involved, but there really has to be a big push from the ordinary citizens in the town as well. You know, so I'm happy you're looking to make a proposal in regards to setting that group up. I'm happy to make that a proposal that we do that and move forward. In regards to the treaty, I think it's something that has to be, you know, dealt with. It has to be a quick response, a reactionary sort of budget in regards to removing the figure very early, because in Newcastle, it's something I pointed out in the PCSP, you know, to put a budget in place where even the community could remove the graffiti, you know, with a few resources. And so it's between our own department and looking at PCSP, there might be opportunities to do something there, you know, because now where should you put, you know, you could put months of effort in, and then graffiti could ruin everything. It's just like a litter also, you know, but I've been looking at Newcastle, and Newcastle has done very well in regards to the cleansing effort. And so I'd like to commend the cleansing department in regards to that. But if you look at the proposal, I propose to do, and I think something else we should do is maybe host an event or something for the people who are involved in that work. Maybe talk it over, maybe with the chair of council, and maybe do a bit more than like 30 lunch or something. It's just a recognition that the extra effort that people can do.
Proposal then to take that forward then as an initiative, and also then to ask the Sheriff Council if we can host an event then letting us know those who have participated in the Newcastle meeting.
Yeah. And seconded by Mr. Burns. I'll have it.
Okay. We can move on then to item 10. And item 10 is the Council of the Public Conveniences, and that will be taken by Kevin as well.
Sure, this is just an update. The report was provided last month indicating the current condition of the 31 public conveniences that we have across the district. And what this report does is just put a little bit more detail in terms of going forward, a program for provision of a new facility, provision of replacement of existing ones, and the provision of refurbishment to quite a number of other ones. And what we're asking the council to consider this year in the capital budget is to set aside a budget of about 1.2 million, which will be spent over a 3-year program starting next financial year. And the spreadsheet provides the draft program for which toilets will be tackled in each of the different years. And they've been prioritised at an officer level, taking on board the findings from the survey, but also a focus in particular in terms of the current condition of the PCs within Newcastle. They are particularly poor, and they were the subject of many complaints over the summertime from the users of those facilities. So it is, Chair, just for information, and I'm sure the councillors will have more time to consider that as we move through the capital and rates budget.
Councillors, are you happy to note the report then?
Just in regards to maybe moving forward, we've got a time in regards to before the race process. I think we should maybe have a discussion with partners in regards to, you know, what they would like to see within the new toilet street, because this is going to be a big opportunity for the upgrade of toilet provision for some considerable time. And I think it's important that we talk, you know, Alzheimer's groups, you know, talk to the age concern, dementia groups, and also, you know, I think you touched on the last meeting was autistic children and adults. About their needs, and it might be a need, you know, to have one high quality toilet within the town where all their needs can be looked after. It also might make an opportunity, you know, for budget to be included in our new building, you know, to deal with some of them issues. I just think it's a good opportunity to have that to the community planning process, to have that discussion, because I think that's what community planning is about, you know, have them discussions very early. And also on the design guide, if we could have some idea of what type of design we're looking at, you know, and that would be because it's a good opportunity maybe to get a bespoke design for right across our district now, you know. So maybe some of that feedback.
I think there's also a proposal in there as well that we engage with grips, just with regards to the design and that, and the features. If we have a second slide, please. Councillor Andrews. Thank you, Mr. Kevin. Are we all content then? We'll come back there to the agenda, so we're going back to item 5. And item 5, 6, 7, and 8 will be taken by Anthony McCary. Anthony, pass over yourself.
Thanks, Chair. Members will be familiar with these reports that we bring to you monthly, so I'm happy to take any questions that you might have. I mean, the key message coming out is that, and while it's not shown here, the most up-to-date position is that the number of live applications has now dipped below 900, so we're at 898 live applications, so we continue to make steady progress towards a figure of 750, which by our calculations would represent, you know, a stable situation that would be comparable with, you know, most of the other planning departments within Northern Ireland. So we're making good progress in that respect, in spite of quite an amount of absences from work that we're experiencing at the moment. So I'm happy to take any questions that you might have on those. I would just draw your attention to the report on renewable planning applications. That was requested by the committee at a previous meeting to get some measure of the sort of contribution that this district is making in terms of sustainable forms of energy, renewable energy. And what you have there is a work in progress in terms of we've provided a report on the numbers of applications, the type of applications, those that have been approved and refused. There's more work that we need to do in terms of even just establishing just how many of those have actually been built out and are actually contributing in terms of renewable energy. But I'm happy to take any questions you might have at this stage on that report as well.
Councillor Craig.
Thank you, Chairman. Just on the report, and I certainly welcome the report and appreciate how it is an interim report. And certainly there's some probably more facts and figures needed to be presented yet. I know that wind turbines are given us in the report a number of approvals and a number of refusals. The report doesn't actually detail that same information for, say, AD plant. You know, it just gives a number of approvals, I think. It doesn't actually state, you know, the number of refusals that there's been, or the same for PV or hydro. But I'm sure that's something which the report will pick up as it becomes a more detailed report. I suppose I did note in the report, and it probably didn't really come as any good surprise for the 12 live applications that are currently in the system for renewable energy. Most of those are for wind turbines, and it's just the very long period of time that the applications are in the system. If I'm reading the report right, I mean, it ranges from 231 weeks, a lot of our over 100 weeks, which is over 2 years. So as the 12 live applications, a lot of them are in the system for around 2 years, which is an extremely long time. So obviously there is an issue here, and you know, I'm not pointing the finger at anybody. I'm wondered, is it a case of the policy needs amended? Is it the case that there's difficulties with the applications? Is there more clarity needed on the policy, or what is? I mean, okay, we can argue, we can look and say the approval rate is relatively low too for wind turbines. But I think probably my main concern is the number of time or the number of weeks that these applications are actually in the system. I mean, I know that the grid will probably not take an awful lot more, but you know, there's obviously other factors like storage of energy which will be coming into play later on. And I know there's no policy at all for energy storage. So if someone was to come along tomorrow with a proposal for energy storage, we don't actually have a policy for energy storage. That's the point as well. So there's a number of issues here. And, you know, well, let me just hear what what Anthony has to say on it.
There are 12 live applications, but we have actually determined quite a number of legacy wind turbine applications in the lifetime of the new council. So we have been driving down that number of legacy wind turbine applications with a mix of approvals and refusals. I think the reality is that the high point in terms of developing these turbines has probably passed, because the incentives that were in place previously are maybe not available to the same extent. So the enthusiasm for these projects has waned slightly, or maybe significantly. I mean, in terms of the live applications, some of those, and 12 is quite a small number, given the number of applications that have been determined within this district. I mean, you know, over 160 decisions in relation to turbines, 12 still outstanding. Some of those are quite complex because of some of the highly sensitive areas within which they would be located. Some of the applicants, to be fair, have lost interest in the applications and are in no hurry to progress them. So it's not a case that we're sitting doing nothing with them. We are trying to drive down the number of legacy applications, and we would expect to move those 12 through the system fairly soon. They are being actively worked on, where the applicant is still interested in having an outcome. In terms of the lack of an energy storage policy, it's not always a bad thing that there isn't a policy. In the absence of a policy, sometimes you may have to just determine the application on its planning merits, working with the existing policy framework that you have. So it's not always the case that you need to have a policy in order to make the planning decision. You know, if the planning system hasn't quite caught up with the new technology, you just have to make do with what you've got. And sometimes that can be to the benefit of applicants of new technology.
Yeah, I appreciate the answer, Chair. And certainly on these determination to try and get the decisions issued on those remaining 12. I suppose the point on policy too is, I mean, even if there's guidance notes or something like that there, which is maybe more easily sort of drafted, and there's no policy. That would be a way of doing that as well. Thanks, Chair.
Thanks, Chair. I welcome the report too as well, and good to see that the reduction in planning applications is coming down as we would like to see in Anthony has. We could hope that's going to go down to about 700. But I noticed in the fact that Anthony mentioned too as well that there's absenteeism, and we all know that would have what effect that does have on production when they begin to grow. And I thought that problem was trying to be overcome, and at this present time doesn't seem to have been solved. Is that correct?
We have absences from work, but for the most part, Councillor, that's all maternity leave. And we are out in the marketplace seeking honours to backfill those posts. But there aren't very many runners on the ground looking for temporary contracts or where to come. You know, so that's where the challenge, that's where the challenge arises. And recognising that we have over the past 6 weeks engaged in an overtime exercise, which we're still sort of bringing that to a conclusion, but we would expect that that exercise would have delivered another 150 decisions in that period on top of the day-to-day work. So, you know, I think, you know, we're always watching the situation and taking steps to address it.
Councillor Patrick?
Yes, Chair.
Sorry, just use your mic, Brian. Meetings are being recorded.
I was just saying that when they're the top of their commission, who's the one I'm dealing with in Barbine, there's no service on there. The one that has permission for one thing, put up a different thing, there's no service there. So they're not all there for refused or granted or whatever. Some of them are on the ongoing cases, so they're top. And that lesson, is there a reason? I don't know.
Like that particular site have been within a different council district at one time?
No.
No, it was always in.
Well, I never shifted. So don't think
it's. It wasn't talking to you, it's talking to the application.
But it's only over the road from me. You know.
Pardon?
No. It wasn't.
Well, it was a planning approval and it should be on the list. We're reliant on what our computer system generates. Well, certainly I can check.
Yeah, if it's been missed out.
Yeah. Okay. Councillors, are we happy then with the report as it is? I don't think Anthony, do you need any proposals for the report? Just for open, isn't it? If we can then move on, we're back on the agenda for item 11, which is again for notes R21. Item 12, a report regarding the second commercial premises. Again, this is an item that came from a request made at full council. The report's in front of you. Adam, would you like to take us through it?
Yes, Chair. I was asked to put. At full council, the question was posed as to whether commercial operators could obtain the use of moving. And as a result, this report is for members' information, setting out how many of our commercial premises and businesses one purchase our tradeway service and two. Purchase the blue bin type service. So this report outlines the numbers, outlines the costs. What it does highlight, I think, and that's why we've stated it within the recommendations, I think there are more businesses out there that we could attract to take advantage of the services the council offers, particularly in the Downpatrick area and still particularly around the bin, because that waste helps with the overall waste and the relative waste streams and tonnages and so on. So I just hope this report provides the information that was requested and you find it useful to answer any questions.
Councillor Burns, sorry.
Thanks, sir. Sure. I've read the report and I am a commercial user of a blue bin and a black bin in my business. But one thing that struck me that I didn't know and I want to know, if it says here in the report about the commercial charges in the Camla and Kilkee sites only, and it says commercial recycling waste is free if it's being an existing customer friendly to Gable. Is that something that we rolled out in all? Is it a legacy issue? Is that something to do? I mean, certainly that would suggest that anybody who gets a blue bin collected by the council can go to the recycle centre and bring whatever commercial trade waste they want. So if I own the bar, I can bring quite a lot of glass out to the glass collection at the recycle centre, or if I own an off license and came across a lot of cardboard, I can bring that out. And if that is the case, I think that's something we should publicise, because we will get an influx of trade waste on that basis, very recyclable and usable. But it does stand on the board that it's Camelot and Kilkenny only, so that's why I'm asking the question.
So the issue is the site license for the cells. Every household recycling centre has a site license, has to be has a site license. Some of those site licenses allow, obviously, Kilkenny and Camelot allow for commercial waste to come on. There are other sites that don't allow that at the moment. The big difference being if you allow commercial waste, you have to start paying rates on your sites, which is quite a substantial cost associated with that thing.
So on that basis, rather than making an uninformed decision tonight, can I ask, could we have some sort of little synopsis on what it would cost and potentially, you know, what we're gaining on the commercial side, what we would expect to gain, and see if, I don't know if that's even possible, but just to see whether that would be something that could roll out in the other areas. I know a lot of businesses that have collections and have worked with other collectors because they have so much recycling and they have to put it just into a normal bin, and I would love to take it out to the local recycling centre. I suppose it's more of an issue for me because I'm cousin only have a recycling centre, so it's not far for us to travel, but maybe that's an issue that is further away. But I'm just wondering, could we propose that we bring back a report to see if that's something that would be worthwhile, or whether possibly the fact that we're paying the sites would be made properly.
That's a proposal then for to have a report to come back then at a future meeting in relation to viability for commercial recycling waste being able to get at all household recycling centres. To the existing commercial waste customers, and that's seconded by Councillor Clark. I think that you want
to. Yes, I'm just going to confirm we should do that.
Councillors, are we happy then with the report and then with the proposal? Okay. The last item then on the agenda is item 13, which is the historic action sheet. We can go through then and try to look at page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, page 6. Are we happy to note the historic action sheet? No issues? Ms. Gibson, thank you very much. The meeting is now adjourned. Thank you.